Again, yes, indeed. Wake up. We're coming for your children. Watch out for your ears and get ready because Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterback, on Saturday is on the loose. Sports Talk with the Guys. Sports Talk with the Guys. Yeah, don't worry, folks. I'm not going to make you suffer that much more. Yes, it is that time. It is Saturday morning, and it is time for the Saturday Morning Extravaganza. I am your host, Roger the Commissioner Noriega, otherwise known as the Artist, formerly known as the Scorekeeper, and, of course, the Scorekeeper. Good morning from Southeast America. The Southern gentleman is in the house. Let me bring him in. I got to get the intro right. Oh, yes, baby. Here it is, folks. And for all you women who have been waiting for the gentleman, he is in the house.
Just a good old boy.
Right, Marino?
Never meaning no harm. All you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Oh yeah, baby. Good morning, Brian. How are you, pal?
Good morning, Roger. Doing great, man. Man, you sound like a man wired up on little sleep right now. Do you have are you on all adrenaline right now?
Oh my God, you know it. You know it, baby. I was out at about 2:30 this morning, and then my alarm goes off at 5:20. I'm wired, baby.
Well, it'll be crash time at about 10:30 Eastern, so you have a good hour left, Inge.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of time, folks, but we're good. It's great. We got Brian, and of course, we have our other resident hero right now, folks. You know him, you love him, and there is a lot to love about him, but he is a man. He is the man. And he is the one who is from South America. He is the one who makes it go, folks. Here he is.
Good morning. I could just see me walking down the street just digging with that song. So there you go.
Sonny, we have all seen you walking down the street pimping out to that song.
Hey, scorekeeper. Scorekeeper, sure. I'm going to call in. I'm actually on Skype, but I'm actually going to call in because I'm getting feedback from a couple of seconds. So let me just call you right back, right in, okay?
You got it there, Sonny Clark, and we are endowed with the greatness and the glory of Brian and shortly the Couch Potato. Folks, once again, you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Don't forget to find us at ndbmedia.net or ndbmedia.com. We are at twitter.com/NDB Media. You can find us on Facebook, NDB Media, and there's even a Sports Talk with the Guy page on NDB Media. Big detail coming very, very soon on some of our websites. We have work that is being done, but hey, folks, better internet radio, period, right here on NDB Media. And I believe we are bringing the Cat's Potato back. Are you there? Oh,
I am there. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Folks, just want to give you an idea. We have a lot of stuff to go over. We are coming out with a calendar just to give you, well, not necessarily a calendar, but today we have our primary, our secondary, and our tertiary story. Don't forget, we are going to be doing the Adam Dunn Watch. We're going to be talking about the Yankees. We're probably going to be talking about arms as well. We have a little bit of sports history. Our sports word of the day, joke of the day. We even have a sports quote. And, of course, we're going to be playing Bleacher Report Round. Hey, we might even have a moron of the week. And, folks, we're even going to be talking in-game managing. We don't know what we're going to be calling that segment, but it's probably going to be in-game managing or Earl Weaver's game, folks. Don't know. We're going to be talking situations. What would these guys do as managers, or what would we do as managers? But that is later on in the program. I got to tell you, we are jazzed. We have, wow, some big news going on. And probably the biggest one is, folks, you're never too old to go back home. Wow. It happened yesterday. It was the sports story. Not that I really care one bit, but it happened. Folks, you're never too old to go home. And it had happened. If you missed it, well, then you're full of crap. But the big man himself, the best player in basketball, LeBron James, or as some idiots say, King James, or as some idiots would also say, the best player in basketball. That's one that I may not argue. LeBron James has now doubled the value of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They went from like $5 to now about $25. Congratulations to them. I got to tell you, I know that's bad math. They're not doubling. But the point is the Cleveland Cavaliers have now gone from a team that basically cost a value meal, and now cost a great dinner at Red Lobster. Congratulations, Cleveland Cavaliers. You guys are back on the map. Brian, wow, crap. LeBron James is back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, pal. Tell me, talk about it. And then, Sonny, you jump on in, too.
Well, the funny thing is I was listening to Colin Cowherd yesterday as it broke, and this guy's reading his letter and crying. I mean, this is not a surprise if you know LeBron James. He's tired of being the villain. He wanted to come be a hero now. But I'll tell you one thing that concerned me during LeBron James's letter, how he says, I hate leaving what I built with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He didn't say what we built. He said I built. To me, LeBron's still the same old selfish cat. Now he's trying to be the hero instead of the villain, but I don't know if it's going to work, guys. I think people are going to see what it is LeBron's attempt. He left Miami because he couldn't win a championship there anymore. It's done. Anything he was going to do could not be top. Four final appearances in a row. He won two of them. Sonny, I think he left Miami because he was scared, Roger. I mean, tell me what you think.
Wow, that he was scared. You know, Brian,
he was scared.
About that. Wow. Let me tell you, I like that. I got something to say. But Sonny Clark, come on, pal, because I've been talking and talking and talking. Sonny Clark, LeBron James, the best player in basketball, has gone back home. I got to tell you, what were you when it happened?
I was just like Tarvino. I was listening to Colin Cowherd when it broke. And the only thing that I thought at the time that it broke is, thank God this is over. I'm so sick of it. And not only that, freaking Facebook. Guys, get a life. I mean, they're going around looking around for pictures where people are celebrating and dancing, and then they put, when Cleveland found out LeBron's coming home. There was like 900 of them. I was like, geez. I mean, I know it's slow sports talk, but God, can we please just get away from it? And by the way, for those that don't think LeBron James is a selfish player or doesn't have an ego or it's not all about him, I just want to know, where did the throwing the dust up in the air, the chalk up in the air come from? That's look at me. This guy is selfish. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. You go, oh, you know, the media's all over, you know, the media's doing it. Yeah, yeah. They are, but he's the one that's popping up the things, the chalk up in the air, like he's the second coming of Christ. I'm sick of LeBron James, and frankly, I don't care what happens to LeBron James in Cleveland. In fact, I would love to see it fall completely on its face, and then he can just go off and obscure. I'm just so tired of LeBron James and LeBron James talk.
Now, Sonny, please. And this is for everyone listening. And good morning, Zeke. He's in the chat room. He is the indelible, the incredible Zeke. Sonny, I just have to ask you, how do you really feel?
For 3 whole days, the sports news has gone over everything in just really briefly bringing up the Josh Gordon thing, and it's done. No one's talking about it because it's all about LeBron. Anything else, you know, pitching, Clayton Kershaw, for God's sake. This guy, and we'll probably talk about him, this guy's been like freaking automatic. Oh, nope, it's LeBron. We got to talk about him. I mean, come on, Clayton Kershaw is a bad MF-er, and that guy is kicking ass, and we're not, they spent 2 minutes on it on ESPN. So if ESPN, that's the problem with ESPN. They're the one that dictates the news more so than the news dictating the news.
The ratings have gone up so high, guys, because of LeBron James. I mean, baseball doesn't sell anymore, Roger. I think that's the problem. I mean, it's not sexy anymore to people. People don't want to tune in to Sports Talk Radio just to hear about baseball. They want to hear about LeBron James, and it's sad because I want to hear about everything that's going on in the sports world, not just LeBron James.
Well, you know, folks, that's an interesting – both of you have some interesting comments, and, you know, I don't know if I can go against them in any way whatsoever because I feel there's some truth to all of that. But, you know, one of the things, first and foremost, I will say is, look, guys, it was a slow news day. That's the fact of the matter. We are in between three other major sports right now. The only one that's in town right now is baseball, and then after baseball, you have golf, you have tennis, you have NASCAR. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. I will say, you know what my biggest disappointment is? Last night, I got together with my classmates, of course, Tony Calvano. We were at his house out in Reseda, out in west L.A., out in the valley. Man, was it hot. And, of course, his wife, Stacy, and then my other classmate, George Gray. And, of course, Solomon Walters was there. And I said, hey, Sol, this is going to be the last time you're going to be in L.A. and, like, maybe for the rest of your life. You want to do a program? Let's get out of the way. No. You know why? Because LeBron James stole my thunder. I'm like, oh, my God. That was kind of funny. Like, you don't want to go live because LeBron James stole your thunder. Fair enough. Folks, there is no other story right now. And even though there are significantly other stories, ESPN did, on an incredibly slow news day, take the news. I finally had access to ESPN, and I was watching ESPN, and all of it was LeBron James. Look, I know he is the best player in basketball, but geez, come on, guys. There was other stuff to report. There was a full baseball schedule. There's NFL news. There's baseball news and significant baseball news, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But, yep. Brian, you asked me, or you made a statement and you wanted to know my opinion on it, that he is scared. You know, I'm going to ask you for a little bit of clarity on that, Brian, because the first thing I'm going to say is, folks, we are no LeBron James fans. We will never be. But this is a guy that made a decision to go to another city, suffered vitriolic hatred. I mean, it was horrible. And, yeah, he is an immature little punk, or big punk. He is. It's true, Brian, what you say, that what I built with these guys. No, it's a team, you idiot. It's what you all did. Hey, I say it all the time. NDB Media, I told Mark Lee about 3 weeks ago. I said, Mark, I want you to shut up and let me finish what I'm about to say, and then you comment. At times, I feel like Gene Roddenberry, you know, the guy who created Star Trek. And I said, Mark, shut up. I said, hold on. Shut up, Mark. You too there. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm Gene Roddenberry when it comes to NDB Media. I create the sandbox, but that's it. Everyone else comes to play in it. And of that, I'm proud of. But NDB Media is a conglomeration of everyone else. Their skills, their talents, their verve, all of that. And even a little bit of floundering, too. But all of it, all the success that we have had here has been us coming together and doing a lot of neat stuff. It's never been I, and it never will be I. And I'm proud of that. You know, this thing was started so that I could communicate with coworkers that are 200 miles away. And look at what it's become. Not because of me, but because of what everyone else has done, and I'm proud of that. That's the only time I use I. But if LeBron James were here, he'd say, yep, look at what I've done, look at what I've done. Everyone else came over to me, and look at what I've done. Brian, he is the most immature person I've seen in the limelight.
Well, I want to clarify one thing, Roger, about being afraid. He's afraid of losing. And he saw in Miami that was it for him. And he's also afraid of what people think. He's scared that people won't like him anymore. He made that mistake going to Miami like that, and it really ate him up, what people thought. So now he can go back home to Cleveland, Roger. And if he wins or loses, it really doesn't matter now. He's the hero again, and he's already made the excuse. It's going to take years to build this back up, where Vegas says their favorite to win the NBA right now. So I think LeBron James is afraid of losing, and he's afraid of what people are going to say. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to clarify that.
No, not at all. You didn't interrupt me, and I'm glad you said that. Before I go to Sonny on this one, you know, guys, my joke, one of the reasons why I'm the scorekeeper is because I use that line. Whenever I'm arguing with someone, to shut them up, you know what I say? Yo, dude, scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard. And in the NBA, the scoreboard for the last year, the last 4 years, maybe even five if you want, has been flashing because of LeBron James. This is a man that doesn't have to win anything for the rest of his life. When it comes down to pantheon of champions, LeBron James has two rings. 90% of the NBA will never get one ring. This guy has two. Plus, he's only done... Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Mr. LeBron, on the team that he was on, has done what few other teams have done. 4 consecutive championship appearances. Impressive. The NBA is that difficult, folks. And LeBron James has done things that no others will do. This guy can go away now and never make the playoffs for the rest of his life. And people are going to rip him and say, oh, wow, he's nobody without Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh. Really, you dumbasses? Really? It also works the other way around. Those other 4 guys are nothing without LeBron James, too. Look, I'm no fan, but the man, if he were to be done right now, oh, by the way, Sonny, you can go to hell if you're going to call him the future Hall of Famer. I'm going to put that on the table right now. You know, he is not a future Hall of Famer. If his career ended today, right now, LeBron James is not a Hall of Famer. Sorry, folks.
You're wrong.
He's not. Oh, Lord. Okay, well, anyway, fine. All right.
If his career ended today, he'd be in the Hall of Fame when the first ballot. He'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? I was yawning. Who, what?
I mean, and you know I hate him. I don't like him. I think he's just a jerk. I can separate the fact that he's a jerk from being a good basketball player. I can actually do it. It's hard sometimes just because I don't like the area. I got an email yesterday because I was on my Facebook and I posted that I was just so sick of LeBron this, LeBron that. Someone sent me a message, and actually it was a good friend of mine, and he put it up on the page too, Corey Bethany. He was a offensive coordinator for the Allen Wranglers when and he's a really good friend of mine. And we also do an IFL show during the IFL season when we both have time. And I didn't comment on it because I didn't want to go too much into it with him, because he doesn't see it the way I do. But he asked what did I think, how did I think that he's selfish and what makes it you know attention getter. And I'm sorry, just the throwing up of the chalk is the reason why we know he's selfish. I mean, you can take all the other stuff out of this whole thing about LeBron James. Now, granted, The media is all over it. LeBron James probably could go without the media hounding up his butt and standing outside of his house and all kinds of other crap. I mean, he could probably live without it. But the first day he throws the chalk up in the air, that's when he declared himself Mr. Selfish. That's when he declared himself, I'm the baddest man on the planet in basketball, okay? And then so what he did is he brought the attention up on him. Now, granted, it was thrown up on him in high school when they were covering stupid high school basketball game. And I love high school basketball, I call it, but it has no business on ESPN. I'm sorry, it doesn't. I don't care if LeBron James was there or not. So it was all about when he first did that. I was willing to give the guy a break up until the point the chalk. That's when he knew it was all about him and he's running with it. So granted, he doesn't produce the reporters in front of his face, and I get it and I understand that. But he surely loves it. And I'll even throw this out there for you, scorekeeper. I can't say that I would be any different. To a point. I mean, if I was making that much money and people were demanding something from me, I think I'd probably get a little big head as well. So most of this attention that LeBron James gets is because that it is a slow news, and he is the best player, and where he's going to land. But at the same time, this is a guy that relishes that whole situation at the same time. If this guy was any kind of a guy that was not an egomaniac, he wouldn't have even started throwing up the chalk. And he knew what it looks like he was a god coming back to Earth. And he knows what that looks like. And I don't care at 22. They're stupid, but he knows that he knew exactly what he was doing. All attention on LeBron James, and that's because it was there, but he just enticed it even more.
Sonny Clark, there are players in history that have been known to do certain particular things. The first one that comes to mind is Ozzie Smith. He would take the field and he did that somersault.
Yes.
Certain players would do one thing in particular that would stand out, and it was a unique thing, and it's only a few players. That's his calling card. I don't like it. I understand what he's doing, and I agree with you, Sonny. It's about him, but he's no different than Ozzie Smith, and I'm going to leave it at that. Brian, today, right now, if LeBron James were to die, oh, I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip. If LeBron James were to no longer play, thank you, Sonny, I appreciate it. Yes, folks, I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Name is Zeke.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks big, but he's still the waitress. Folks, Brian, if LeBron James did not take another pass in the NBA today, is LeBron James a Hall of Famer?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Best player in basketball. I mean, he already has two titles. He's played for five. I mean, how many players play for five championships and don't make the Hall of Fame that's not a role player or something? LeBron James, right now, is a Hall of Famer in my book.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's five consecutive championship appearances, is it not?
I think it's four.
Oh, no, no, no. It's four consecutive, five consecutive playoff appearances. Now, to answer your question, folks, all right, and that's fine. I'm willing to defer to the wonderful gentlemen that have joined me this early in the morning while I am hopped up on coffee and just the desire to get this done. Folks, I think the scorekeeper is back, but I appreciate
it. I have to interrupt you there, scorekeeper. I think there is something wrong with you. You actually asked the question about someone being a future Hall of Famer. You don't even do that. You must have got a little big dog in you right now, because that sounds like what the big dog would have asked. So I think, I don't know, there's something wrong with the scorekeeper even asking if someone is a future Hall of Famer, I think.
Okay, Brian did immediately say it this morning. You sound like you're hopped up. I'm like, yeah, baby, I'm tired. So maybe I need to be forgiven on that. It's an argument that I suppose I'm trying to answer Brian, because, Brian, your question is very valid, but maybe I have answered it in my opinion. What does he need to be afraid about? I understand he desires the love in Facebook and in the internet world. He is seeking it out, and he needs it, and he is very shallow, probably even callow, dare I say. But, you know, he can leave the game right now. You see, you guys made the argument for me that it wouldn't affect his future. And I don't know if he has anything to be sorry about. Maybe he wanted to make up for it having left Cleveland, yes. But there's nothing for him to be sorry about. You guys yourself said it. You may have answered it for me. And that's why I'm not willing to argue it anymore. If LeBron James is afraid, then that's his ego, that's his personality, the letter that he wrote. I mean, is this the letter that you write to the girl that you dumped for a better girl? I mean, is that the letter that he wrote? If so, okay.
Then
deserve another chance.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep. When you said it that way, you just made it relatable to where people didn't understand it, you know, beforehand. I think right there, it is exactly what you're talking about. Props to the scorekeeper. That is probably the best way to put that whole thing. If you don't understand the craziness that is LeBron James and what's going on with him as far as his career and everything else, that comparison, scorekeeper, is probably right on for people who don't understand sports and might be able to understand it now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of fell asleep for a moment. I apologize. Did I do something good?
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Yeah, you did. You did great.
Oh, my God. And who did I do this for? LeBron. Oh, Lord. I am not feeling well today. Folks, let me take a hit of my coffee. Oh, my God. I'm like three quarters of the way through. I'm going to have to get some coffee in a little bit. But hold on. Let me do this. Give me a moment, kids. Oh, that was a glorious cup of joe, folks.
You're going to crash and burn.
I am definitely going to crash and burn. But it's fun. I got to tell you, folks, Brian was in just as we went live, so he called in. Do you know what got me going, honestly, is knowing that Brian called in just before we went live and then Sonny Clark immediately. I didn't know if I was going to be alone or not this morning, and sure enough, and then Zeke's in the chat room. If I'm hopped up, it's because of my compatriots that have joined me this morning, and we have some great stuff to talk about. Brian, why don't you give me your last thoughts on LeBron? I appreciate what you say, Sonny. Maybe I did get it right there, but again, I'm only trying to respond to what Brian asked me. I don't know, guys. First of all, I don't pretend to know what the hell is in that brain, because, LeBron, oh, my goodness. He is frustrating to watch.
as a mature adult male. He is still a child. I just found out he's married. Like, holy crap! He's married? And he's still happy
that high school
way?
Sweetheart.
I can imagine the conversations when he comes home after a game. Yeah, you baby, you go. Yeah, you go deep. Yeah, screw those idiots and say you only last three quarters. Hell no, you go deep, baby. That's right. Yes. Oh! So it's always
that's
you.
What she said. Yeah, go deep.
I went from a moment of spirituality, and I went course on you guys. Jesus, oh my Lord,
I'm done. I think I'm up and down all the morning,
Brian. Take us away on this thought, because we've got some more sports to talk about. Let's have your last thoughts on LeBron James.
Well, I mean, you know, the NBA is growing. People are getting more interested in it, and this just made it even bigger. But nobody's talking about LeBron James and Johnny Manziel sharing the same town down the spotlight. It was all about Johnny Manziel until now LeBron comes home. Who's gonna draw the most attention? Who's going to draw the most media attention now, LeBron or Johnny Manziel?
Wow. That's an interesting question. I think we can talk about Johnny Manziel in a little bit. I know that was a great setup to go to our next one, but I do want to comment, folks, the biggest erroneously reported story was Carmelo Anthony returning to the Knicks. Folks, all you had to do was ask Carmelo or follow the man's Twitter feed. The man has not signed a deal. As a matter of fact, the only really deal of significance other than LeBron James was Jeremy Lin. Holy crap. Jeremy Lin is now a Los Angeles Laker. And folks, if you ever wanted to talk about the Lakers and having a chink in their armor, there you go, folks. Do the Lakers even have armor? Yes, I stole the headline that got that writer in trouble. Who is he playing with? The Nets? Yeah, they have a chink in their armor. Yes, that is one of the most written slurs as of late. But it was stupid. Someone told me they did it on purpose. I don't know, because I've used the word chink myself in the same context. But when you say chink in your armor, and you're talking about an Asian player, dude, that's the time when the sports editor sends you home, calls your mama and says, "Mama, a sports writer, you need to beat the crap out of your stupid son. Please do so. Because he no longer has a job with us, so he better buy some more cup of noodles, because he's not going to have a job." But anyway, Sonny Clark. The Lakers are signing Jeremy Lin.
The pussification of America. The pussification of America.
The pussification. God, beautiful.
The pussification of America. Sonny Clark, the Lakers have now signed Jeremy Lin. What a didn't sign him. It was a trade. I mean, what a
Well, they're eating some of the salary.
Yeah,
for some reason the Lakers are going to eat salary for I'm sorry. I mean, who in the Laker organization woke up yesterday morning and said, "You know what will help the Lakers? Jeremy Lin." I mean, who the hell is running things over at the Lakers organization? Hey, don't get me wrong. Jeremy Lin, okay, is a role player, okay? But really, that's your first state of business here when you're about ready to try to rebuild with Kobe Bryant. Oh yeah, Jeremy Lin. Yeah, that, you know what I'm telling you, it goes back to the simple fact, and the simple fact is that the Lakers organization is messed up from top to bottom without one doctor in the house. And that is the problem over there. You can say what you want about the guy, but Dr. Jerry Buss ran that organization and had it the way that it needed to be in order for it to be successful. I don't know how the knowledge of that man did not make it to his sons, to his daughters, and everybody else there, how that knowledge has not been picked up by those people. I don't get it. Now, that having been said, there is two franchises in major sports right now that need their owners not to be passed away. And one of them is over in New York with your Yankees, as much as they suffered since George Steinbrenner has gone away, and Dr. Jerry Buss. Two major sports organizations that needed and still to this day need their leader. I mean, and the right leaders, the guys that knew what they were doing, the guys that weren't afraid to write the check, the guys that were going to go out and make the blockbuster deals to do whatever they got to do, even though they're still paying for it to this day. But guess what? The championship still came home. The Lakers organization right now is in it's in disarray, and I'm for the Lakers' sake, I hope they get it straightened out quickly. But right now, with an aging Kobe Bryant right now and Jeremy Lin, that is something a lot of teams in the West are going to be afraid of this year.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be afraid of Jeremy Lin and the Lakers' point guard. Wow, way to go.
Unbelievable.
Brian, it is unbelievable. Who is running the Lakers, Brian? Because, oh, and by the way, folks, a little bit of trivia. In the many years that I've been now on sports radio, I have only done two impromptu programs on the passing of someone. Everyone remembers, and it's actually one to this day, it is still one of my highest drawing programs. And it was in 2010 when George M. Steinbrenner III passed away. And there was another program that I did for someone that passed away, and I think it was within the last 2 years. And it was another person in entertainment, for those of you that know and don't know, it was when the director of The Empire Strikes Back passed away. He was the only
original.
Other... Yeah. He was the... Irving Kirshner. He was the only other person that on the day that he passed away, I went out and basically did a story on them. And on George Steinbrenner, I remember I thought about it because I'd lived with him my entire life as a Yankee Man owner. So I just went by what I remembered. It took me 30 minutes to prep. I looked at the years, and every year I picked out something. And I worried about the state of the Yankees going forward. I really did. And I still worry about the Yankees.
You have to.
But, you know, it's because we had George Steinbrenner, and I was depressed. And I even said in that program, I said, man, there were times that I thought Sir George Steinbrenner was the worst thing for the franchise until George actually turned over the operations to baseball people, and not only baseball people, but good baseball people, and he listened to them. George Steinbrenner still did what George Steinbrenner did, but when he started to turn over up to the baseball people, to the people who knew, the Yankees skyrocketed. In the 90s, they got better. In the 90s, the Yankees were dangerous, but by 94, the Yankees had established a nucleus of players that they were the team to beat for a long time to come. And guess what, Atlanta Braves? Scoreboard, baby!
They only got one of them.
Yeah, we have more championships, more playoff appearances. The Yankees, folks, as much as you love to hate them, and you do, and I actually enjoy that, the Yankees did incredibly well in the last few years under George Steinbrenner's reign. And now there's serious questions as to where the Yankees are going because that team personality is not there.
Yep.
Fine. Let's look at the Lakers. Oh, God. From the general manager all the way on up, there are serious questions as to where the Lakers are going.
Even coaching. But, even if, from the coaches. From the coaches and the personnel that are on the – well, that comes from the general manager. But, yeah, but even coaching, it's really been embarrassing.
Very much so. Brian, the Lakers. Look, I know that people are happy that the Lakers are doing bad. But, you know, there are certain teams that you don't want to see them doing bad because when they're good and they play you, it's even better. And the Lakers are one of those teams. But they flat out suck. And they're going to suck for a while.
No, definitely, Roger. And you start giving Kobe Bryant three times his value, almost an aging player, you're really setting yourself back. And I don't think Laker fan realized that when it happened. But I remember listening to Colin Cowherd actually when that happened, and people were just like, I mean, just blinded by this. They didn't really see the writing on the wall, but it's going to take the Lakers, guys, unless there's a huge trade that happens, 5 or 6 years to even be relevant again. There's no way they're going to win the West. And, you know, sometimes business and family, they don't mix. Maybe he should have given the team to someone else. Maybe the daughter instead of the son, because he's a complete dumbass.
Yeah, he is a dumbass.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? He is a complete dumbass? Did I hear that twice?
Yes.
I mean, were you guys basically singing the song? It's either Lakers
he's ten
or...
Times, he's 10 times
we did it in
it
harmony, man. We did it in harmony because you look at the Lakers and what they've been for the last 2 years. What have they been for the last 2 years? They've been a franchise that has been an entity that is only Kobe Bryant. I mean, and when you look back up on the history of the Lakers, it wasn't always Magic. It wasn't always Kareem. It always wasn't – I mean, it was a bunch of – now, it's Kobe. There's nothing else. I mean, really, in reality, when you think about what the Lakers are going, I think Tarvin's right. I think Tarvin's right. This could be the beginning of a long haul for the Lakers for the next 5 years. Maybe not 5 years, because I don't know how long it will be before they're sick and tired of this crap. And that's what the, that's where the Lakers are not right now, and that's the problem. If you're the Lakers, you got to be going, I'm tired of this crap. What do you mean we haven't been in the playoffs? Let's do something about it. And there's not anybody who's willing to take that step. And the fact that the Lakers were not even a consideration for LeBron James, okay, tells you where that franchise is. As a matter of fact, the Lakers should have been the first place this guy wanted to go to, if you think about it.
Interesting, Sonny. It may have been the first place that he needed to go, but you know, LeBron had his mind set. He wanted to make up with his city, and he wanted to go back home. He wanted to be the guy that ventured out. I mean, when I heard about LeBron James actually going back, I actually went biblical, and maybe that's why you got the emotional letter that I did this morning explaining what happened. I was thinking of the prodigal son. For those of you that know, and I ask your forgiveness, In the Judeo-Christian world, in the New Testament, there's the story of the prodigal son. There's two kids, one who was a holier-than-thou, Roger, and then there was the other one, Sonny, that said, you know what, I've had it with you people. I want my money now, and I'm going to go live my life. And the father gave him the money, and he went out there, and the guy ended up having to live with pigs after. Sports talk with the guys. And it's just the way it happened. And when he realized that he'd messed up, he came back home, and the dad was so happy. The other son was like, what the hell? What the hell, man? I was good. And, you know, the other son is, you know, then the dad says, but he's come back home. It's the most important thing. When you lose one, it's disastrous, but it's even better when they come back home. So, folks, the whole idea of LeBron James coming back, it is almost a biblical-type story. And I thought of, that's the first thought that came to mind, the prodigal son. But Roger, being the scorekeeper, was really thinking of more Cain and Abel. I'm like, all right, who's going to be the first rat bastard to kill Cain?
I got another theory if you want to keep it biblical. How about Adam and Eve?
LeBron James is Eve.
No. LeBron James is Adam. And the reason why they're back in Cleveland is because Eve said so. Okay, hey, let's get serious, okay? All right, they're from that area, okay? All right, they're about ready to have a kid, okay? This is about they're about to have a third kid. This is about family and a woman, Satan. Listen, I want to go back home. I don't want to be here. I'm trying to raise some kids, and I want to raise them around my family. And I'm telling you, this was a woman that I think was fed up and just said, listen, we're going back. Hey, you can go wherever you want. I'm going back to Cleveland. That's what I think. I don't think LeBron James had very much to say about it. And this was a done deal a long time before. And I didn't even think about the white factor in the fact that a young kid such as LeBron James is not in charge of his life. Remember, that don't happen until you're later on. You know, there's an old saying, and I'll live this down, you know, because I said it a week before my first wedding. If you can't control your wife, you can't control your life. That was one of the lines that I accidentally said out loud, which I should have kept to myself, and I never lived it down for 7.5 years. But here's the thing. That's the simple fact. His wife wanted to go back home. His wife's family back in Cleveland. His kids, you know, cousins and everything else. This is not about building a legacy in Cleveland, although that is a great excuse. This is a woman saying, I want to go back home. I want to be with my family. I got 3 kids. I want them to know that. And that kind of society is a close-knit, it's a close-knit society as far as family is concerned. So I think it was more about his wife more so than LeBron making the decision to go back to Cleveland himself.
Okay, folks. First of all, I got to tell you, Sonny Clark just said something about Cleveland, and I'm going to answer it very quickly. But first of all, Zeke in the chat room says, sorry, I had a phone call. Did I miss you saying bad things about me? Yeah, I was talking about the Yankees and how they kicked the crap out of everyone. So, yeah, I was talking crap about you. But anyway, folks, Sonny Clark just compared LeBron James to Adam. And indirectly, his wife. Do you know what Chris Clark just said? He said that Cleveland is paradise. Oh my God! Hell no.
No, for that family. For that family.
Bullshit. Now you have to suck up and eat that one. But folks, when Sonny said that, the only thing I was thinking of is in my life. Few people know the people that I admire most. And you found out about it when I announced it a few weeks ago. If you guys want to know anything about the scorekeeper and what drives him, all you have to do is look historically or hysterically to and Dream. Yeah, Dream. I'll get to you in a moment, Dream, but I got to put you on hold because of all the stuff that's going on in the background. But anyway, I'm going to go to Dream is on hold. We're going to get to him right now. But guys, you want to know what drives me? His name is Thomas Moore. He is a man for all seasons. If you haven't seen the movie, you're stupid. You need to see the movie. And I'm going to paraphrase here. When he is on trial by those ridiculous morons, and he finds that one of his closest friends is now against him, and he's wearing the exec checker or whatever, and he asks him, what are you now? And he says, well, I am the chief big dick from Wales. Really? And he goes biblical on him and he says, to sell your soul for the world is one thing, but to sell your soul for Wales? I love it. It's incredible. And right now, Sonny, when you say all this stuff about LeBron being Adam and Eve and going back to Cleveland, oh, my God, are we saying that paradise is Cleveland?
Paradise is the peace you get from doing what your old lady says. That's paradise.
Yes. Listen. There's also another old saying, and you know this one too, scorekeeper, a happy wife is a happy life. Okay, it don't matter how mad you are about the situation, okay, or something that you don't want to do. If your wife is happy about it, you know, guess what? That means there is a calmness within the house. No, I'm not, and I'm not saying Cleveland is paradise, but it's paradise for LeBron because that's what he has to live in, okay?
Yeah, all right, Sonny Clark. You said Adam and Eve going back home and all that crap. So you got to live with it. You now call Cleveland paradise, and I've got to compare mortal fails. But be that as it may, folks, let's just get this one done.
Oh, I meant the short.
I've just closed my eyes again.
I meant the short.
climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train.
Ooh, Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night.
Oh, yes, folks, I gotta tell you, Dream does get me through the night, folks, and he is with us this early morning on a Saturday morning. Good morning, Dream. How are you? What's going on, pal?
Good morning, scorekeeper. I am doing my morning walk and fighting traffic, as you so patiently heard and put up with for about 3 seconds before
and
you needed me
dodging airplanes.
Dodging airplanes, yes.
That's funny.
Dude, Cleveland is not paradise, okay? Cleveland is not paradise. Well, the only good thing that came out of Cleveland was the Drew Carey Show. So that's about it.
And he's not even funny.
No.
Oh. Drew Carey's not funny? Well, okay, we're going to have to go down that road another day. But it's all right. Drew Carey, he surrounded himself with beautiful women. And, yes, you could even say, who's my line is it anyway? He surrounded himself with a few women on that program, too. But that's neither here nor there, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a glorious morning. Dream. And there is Darth Vader in the background. Good morning, Matt Alvarez, who's also in the chat room. Thanks for joining us, folks. Don't forget, number 347-637-2306. We are finishing up on LeBron James. You missed the Dream. You can spend a lot of time on it. But tell me, other than dodging airplanes, were you shocked, surprised, what? LeBron James is back in paradise. No, Wales. He returned to Wales.
He is in Wales. I like that better. I think we're going to keep it as Wales. LeBlanc is back where he belongs. Hopefully we don't have to see him as much anymore, but unfortunately I think we're still going to get a little bit of that. Anytime he's on a game, we might have to put up with him. But, yeah,
hey,
man,
Dream.
I mean, we like the smaller market.
He is a smaller market, but he just doubled the value of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know my math is wrong, but the Cleveland Cavaliers went from a value meal to a nice meal at Red Lobster. They went from $5 to $25.
Hey,
so,
I wouldn't say Red Lobster. I wouldn't say Red Lobster. I'd say more like Olive Garden. You still have to deal with the all-you-can-eat breadsticks.
I like it. That was good there, Dream. That was good. Dude. If LeBron James stopped playing right now, and this question is also to you, Matt Alvarez, if LeBron James were to die, I'm sorry, I already used that Freudian slip, but if he already, I know, it's like, if LeBron James were to die right now, folks, is he in the Hall of Fame? Sonny Clark said yes. Brian said, yo, scorekeeper, you that stupid? Definitely. Even though Brian said, yes, scorekeeper, I understood the undertone. I know Brian was saying, dude, you're a moron. You're a moron to even ask that. But Brian is our Southern gentleman. Dream, if LeBron James were to croak right now, and again, that's not any hope on my part, if he were to croak right now, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Honestly, I'm gonna surprise a lot of people and say, F no. Because the Hall of Fame is what you have done. It is not what you could have done. It is not what you will do. He's got a couple championships, I get it, but how many other championships have people had and still not made the Hall of Fame?
After 7 years?
Yeah.
After 7 years, LeBron James has put up more points, more in 7 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, he's number two or number three all time in scoring in that time frame. Okay, he won two championships, been to five of them, and to the playoffs, I think, seven times. In the first 7 years of his career, or first 8 years of his career. He does. He's got two of them.
Hey, guys.
And he should have had three. And if it wasn't for Dirk Nowitzki leaving he would have had three.
No, hey, you got to remember, the only reason he has one of them was because of lucky bounce and a lucky rebound.
Ow.
The Spurs could have had it.
Hey, folks, hold on. First of all, I want to go to Brian on this. First
I
of
love
all, guys,
him.
Scoreboard. I said it all along. LeBron James has two victories. You know what? You could easily say that he could have had four championships. But
yeah.
You know what? That's bullshit. I cry foul. I never play that situation because you know what? That's the beauty of being a scorekeeper. You go by what is there. Don't give me this woulda,
yep.
coulda crap. And here's another reason why LeBron James, if he were to croak today, is not in the Hall of Fame. He's only played 8 years, folks. That's it. And yes, he's done what he's done. And that's why I say he's the best player in the game. But God damn it, the Hall of Fame is reserved for players that showed up and over their career, which usually lasts a long time, is good. There are a lot of flash in the pans guys that are around for a few years, and for those few years, they were the best. But that's it.
What's been the biggest news story in the NBA for the last 8 years?
Tony Clark, it's 8 years. The guy still doesn't know how to wipe up his snot yet. He still doesn't know how to act like a result.
That was not his fault.
Okay, anyway, guys, 8 years.
If he's dead, he's not. It's not his fault he died or something. He's still the best player besides Michael Jordan that I've ever seen. I mean,
he's been the best player in the NBA for the last 4 years.
Easy. I'll give you that. But that does not make him a Hall of Famer.
What he did with Cleveland, which was put him on the map, and what he was able to do, never mind the hatred of LeBron, I get it. I understand. But if you want to deny the talent, you can go ahead and do so. Now, granted, what Scorekeeper says it's only been 8 years, but if he passed away right now or for some reason could not play, there's absolutely not a question in any sport writer's mind or anything else like that. The people, LeBron James would be in the Hall of Fame. They might even make an exception. If he passed away, they might make an exception to get him in earlier. That, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
It's not about what he – hey, what has really been the news in the last 8 years in the NBA besides LeBron James?
Let me see. What has been the big news? How stupid the players are for putting max contracts out. That's big news.
Well, that's another story in itself. I agree with you on that.
Okay, folks, again, this is another reason why I don't want, and we just lost Brian right now, this is another reason why I really don't even like getting into, is he or is he not in the Hall of Fame? In my humble opinion, this is elegant proof. Look, I just made a pass at Dream on air. You guys all missed it when he says he does not belong, and I'm like, I love you, man. It's because, guys, we're wasting time. It doesn't matter. Because everyone is always blinded by what the player is doing now. Give it, if he were to pass away right now, you look at what he's done, and then you evaluate it. Guys, he's only been playing for 8 years, honestly. If a guy plays for 8 years, in no way does that make him a Hall of Famer.
He's 32 in scoring right now. After only 8 years, he's number 32 in scoring. And listen, out of the 32 ahead of him, almost all of them are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, and how long do they play?
Beautiful, Sonny. But here's the thing, and this is
the point. How long did he play? That's the point.
Here's the pussification of America. The bastard hasn't even earned it yet, and you've already given him the title. And yet you yourself, Sonny Clark, love to rip what people say about him and what they believe about him.
I'll rip him all day long, but I won't rip his talent. His talent is there. I mean,
we are not ripping his talent.
Listen,
we are not ripping his talent by all means. He is the greatest player in the NBA right now. Nobody's questioning that. But can he maintain that for another 5, 6, 7 years? You know, that's where I'm coming in from. Now,
in the next 5 or 6 years,
we have,
he's going to be number 10
we
in
have to just,
scoring. And right now, he's number 32.
Scorekeeper. I think we just have to agree that Sonny Clark is wrong and leave it at that.
Well, okay. Folks,
I love him. I love him.
Folks, I'm going to put something else out there. When Major League Baseball considers a player for the Hall of Fame, they specifically say you must judge him on the merits of what they did in the season. Mm-hmm. You can and should ignore the playoffs, because it really doesn't factor in. And if that same thing were to be factored in to the NBA players, it rings hollow, folks. He's the best player today. I have been giving him love for a long time now about being the best player. But, folks, I mean, honestly, he is not a Hall of Famer today, even if he croaked today. It's only been 8 years. We don't know where it could be, but going on his 8 years right now, no. I'm telling you, my standard is very high, and right now, So I don't know if Matt believes he should be or not. I don't think I got that answer in the chat room, but I don't know if Zeke said it. But I do want to say Zeke did come out of the closet. Yes, my pal, my buddy, came out of the closet, and he said, breaking news. I no longer
He's
care
a Cubs
about
fan.
The Mets. Yeah. Oh, even worse, yeah. I've been hiding this fact for a while now. Whew! I came out. I feel so free. Let me tell you guys, I've been a Yankee since 1979, after they beat the Dodgers. And the Yankees sucked in the late 80s and early 90s. Well, like the first or second year of the 90s. And I was still wearing my Yankee cap. And this is a
wearing it right now.
Yeah, you know what? And they're starting to suck again, and I'm still a Yankee fan, first and foremost. You know what, guys? You take the good and the bad. Zeke, I'm sorry that you've given up on the Mets, but I've told you in the past, dude, you want to not be bitter? You want to not be happy? I mean, you want to be happy? Come on and join the Yankees, dude. Yankees are the best team in baseball, no matter what. And yeah, eat me, Matt. I know you're going to say the Athletics are the best team. You know what? Yeah, they're the best team today. They are. The Athletics are the best team today. But you know what? The Yankees are still the Yankees. So, Zeke, come on over to the dark side, pal. You've already come out of the closet. Now jump across the river. Come on, baby. And this goes to you, too, Sonny Clark. This goes to you, too. Dump the Texas Rangers. Sonny, make a decision.
Listen,
for you and
hold on. How long have you known me? Since when have I been a Texas Ranger fan?
I don't know, but you've been blowing Yu Darvish on air for a while now.
Well, no. Yu Darvish is a bad MF-er, but I'm unfortunately a Kansas City Royal Cubs and
Los Reales.
So
Los Reales.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, if you're a Royal, then fine. Then that makes you the American League version of a Cub. So, whatever.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, I know.
But we spent a lot more time than I really expected to on LeBron James. Folks,
really?
I was
surprised we did an hour on LeBron.
Yeah, we've done an hour, and there is some other stuff. Well, we snuck in during the talk as well. Folks, we have a lot of stuff that we want to go over today. There is some baseball news. I don't know if you guys missed it, but it looks like everyone missed it. NDBC scored one of the greatest coups of this century, this decade, the year. The Tri-State Sports guys had the most polarizing figure in all of sports on this Wednesday. And the world missed it. Blog Talk Radio missed it. ESPN missed it. Everyone missed what happened this past Wednesday. No one else really knows. Sports Talk with the guys got the coup of coups. They had the biggest death in anything. And he was a baseball player. And he is the only baseball player that should be in the Hall of Fame. And he is not in the Hall of Fame.
On Wednesday, the Tri-State Sports Guys interviewed Charlie Hustle himself, Pete Rose.
Really?
And Blog Talk
Wow.
blew us off.
Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable. Go back and listen to the archives. Tri-State Sports Guys had Pete Rose on. And no love from Blog Talk Radio. No love from anyone. So
that just goes to show how dumb these people are.
You know what? You just insulted the dumb people of the world. How dare you, Sonny Clark?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, folks, go back and listen. Pete Rose was on the program. It is unbelievable. So, anyway, folks, I got to tell you, I mean, if we get no one else ever again, NDB Media hosted Pete Rose. We've also hosted Tommy John. You guys remember that as well, the Tri-State Sports Guys. And we didn't get love on that one either. Unbelievable. So, folks, I had to put it out there. My love, my affection, and my admiration to the Tri-State Sports Guys. Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle. That's
unbelievable.
That is the news, folks. Screw LeBron.
Hey, listen. Scorekeeper, you might be right. I mean, you've had some great people on your show, and even on the other side, over on NDB Media. But as far as names are concerned, more people, no offense against your other stuff, because you've had some big guests, more people know who Pete Rose is than the people that you've brought onto your show. That is such a huge program. I am going to send me the link, and I'm going to put it up on my page so people will listen to it as well.
I have to ask, Scorekeeper, when you talked to Pete Rose, did you ask him, what are the odds of LeBron staying in Vegas?
No, I did not get a chance to actually be in the program. Folks, I'm over on Wednesday. I had to take my daughter to her possibly new school. And once we did the tour, if you were following me on Facebook, you knew where I was on Wednesday. And I scored the best daddy points that anyone could ever have had.
Good job.
Because as we're walking out, we're done. It was about 5:40 in the evening. And my daughter was so happy, Gmo. She goes, wow, Dad. So what are you going to do now? I said, well, baby, I think I'm going to go home and I'm going to go listen to the interview of Pete Rose. She goes, what are you talking about? And I did it deliberately because I was a dick. There was about 40 people that were in that tour. I'm saying, yeah, you know, sweetheart, I blew off the biggest name in sports to be here with you today. My daughter was like, what do you mean? Yes, I had a chance to interview Pete Rose today, and I saw the little jerks behind me, their ears prick up. And I said, I had a chance to interview Pete Rose, but I blew it off with you today. I love you, sweetheart. And she's like, okay, Dad, I do too, but I'm going to help Pete Rose. I'm like, okay, you can shut up now. Everyone heard. Don't make me look stupid. And that really happened. That really happened.
That's amazing.
I had my moment to shine because I did it on purpose. I'm like, I blew this up. And I said, yeah, sweetheart, I should have been home right now because we were interviewing Pete Rose, and I blew him off to be with you today. And they're, oh, thanks, Dad, but who's Pete Rose?
That hurts my feelings. Who is Pete
That's
Rose?
Funny.
Jesus.
They're like, I didn't know you interviewed gardeners. What's going on?
Unbelievable.
And I really told my daughter, shut up before you know, I already had my moment right now. Everyone heard, shut up, don't make me look bad.
Scorekeeper, that just goes to show how old we are. Who is Pete Rose? I came to a realization on July 4th when I went and seen Sheena Easton here in our city where they had the free concert, and I was sitting there thinking, all these people that were my age used to love Sheena. I mean, when we were young, younger, 20, you know, 20 and under. I mean, now we're all middle-aged, oh, my gosh, we're getting so old, scorekeeper, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we are, folks, and it's happening fast. But I wanted to share that. Brian lost out. He actually missed out on the announcement right now, and I want to go back and say it. Brian,
yes.
there was a point. I know you didn't hear this, Brian, and you don't even know it either because no one knows. The biggest news I had, we at NDB Media, again, had a greater story than LeBron James going to Cleveland. Brian,
oh,
the Tri-State Sports guys interviewed Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, on Wednesday.
Are you serious?
I know. I didn't even see
no,
it.
I'm not
what makes
serious.
Me mad is scorekeeper, what makes me mad is I go to Blog Talk Radio every day, okay? And I look, and over on the right-hand side, when you log in, you have your shows, you know, over on the right-hand side, the shows that you follow on the right-hand side. And I didn't even see it.
Yeah, that's another thing altogether. But, folks, we had bigger news. Pete Rose doesn't do interviews with just anyone, and he did it with Tri-State.
He'll do interviews with whoever he wants for money, okay? I'm telling you right now, Pete Rose very rarely gives an interview without somebody paying him. So
that's another reason why we will never interview William Shatner. You know, James T. Kirk, we'll never interview him because he demands money. I'm like, no, dude, you're entertaining, but you're not worth money, quite frankly. We're not going to pay you. We have
an interview, and he told me it'd be $1,000. I'm like, screw you, man.
Who? Pete Rose?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, Bo Jackson? Really? Yeah.
My
favorite
player of all time, and then he went down on the damn list. I'll promise you that.
Yeah, well, there you go, folks. Pete Rose doesn't do interviews, and he did that interview. So Matt Alvarez says he has a guest on the 25th, so we're going to have to find out details on that. But, folks,
who is
we are now on the third. If Matt wants to tell us, he can tell us. But there's a guest that he has. So I don't know who it is. Folks, we're going to continue. We are in the third quarter here on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Before we get to some additional baseball news, in the Yankee land, Masahiro Tanaka is down, and it's bad for baseball. I want to take a quick moment, and I want to see if you gentlemen and everyone else listening, if you're going to like this one. A man asks an attractive woman on the golf course if she'd like to play a round with him.
Oh.
It turns out, wins by 4 strokes. Sensing the guy's embarrassment, the woman offers to take him to the parking lot and give him head in her car to make him feel better. Wow, if only I played golf. The rest of the week, they play together every morning. The woman wins by 4 or 5 strokes each time and then goes down on him in the parking lot. I should have read this effing joke before I chose to do it online. I apologize, folks. On Friday, he invites her to his house for a romantic dinner. That evening, they have a lovely meal and move to the couch to fool around. You do that? Oh, shit. Talking about losing out. The woman pulls away and says, "That's it. Stop it. Wait. I must confess something to you. I'm a transvestite. I'm really a man." "You son of a bitch," the guy exclaims. "You've been hitting off the woman's tee all week."
Only golfers gets how why that's so funny.
Well, you know, Dream, who's not a golf fan,
that's almost as good as the guy that goes out and plays golf and he goes out by himself and he's teamed with a woman and they're playing a golf course that's off the side of a farm. So on the 5th hole, the woman hits her ball, and the ball goes in the meadows, and the guy hits his ball, and it goes right down the middle. But while they were out looking for her ball, they came up on this cow that was in the meadows, and every time his tail swished, there was a bright light of yellow. So the guy crawls over the fence and goes over and lifts the tail and looks at it, and there's, sure enough, there was a golf ball lodged in there. And he turns to the woman and he says, "Does this look like yours?" And she hit him with a 7-iron.
Well, there you go.
Folks, I think we're all upset of the fact that we're missing Joke Night. Joke Night will probably be returning to NDB Media very soon, probably more so than I expected. Monday Night in America has been on hiatus while I played in a softball league, but due to the most recent injury, I think scorekeeper may be done in team sports. And that's why it was embarrassing. But anyway, folks, before we go on to something else, for what you want to know, today in history, in sports history, did you know that in 1949, I'm sorry, I apologize, yes, in 1949, baseball owners agreed to erect a warning path before each fence. So 1949 is where they established where the grass goes to dirt right before the fence. The famous warning, the warning track was instituted today in 1949. And also, in 1949, the LA Rams signed Norm Van Brocklin, baby.
Really?
Yep. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That's just a little taste of what happened. If you guys want to go back even further in history, on this day in 1901, Cy Young won his 300th game today in 1901. So, a little bit of trivia, guys. We're trying to change things up right here on Sports Talk.
Well, how about
guys.
This? How about in 1996, Kirby Puckett announced his retirement after 12 years because of the eye situation? He couldn't see. He retired. Also, that was in 96, but in 79, remember, the White Sox were forced to forfeit the second game of a doubleheader because of the Disco Sucks that was out in Comiskey Park in center field. That was back in 1979, and that was the worst thing that could happen in the world.
Yes, as a matter of fact, folks, for those of you that remember or don't remember, the Disco Sucks Night, that's what it was called, was actually called Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
It's the same thing. No, fine. You're right. You're right, pal. It's just that's what it was officially called, the Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park. Causes fans to go wild and causes the White Sox to form the Disco
And then 1955, Stan Musial's 12th inning home run gave the National League a 7-5 victory over the first ever All-Star game in Milwaukee. That's the one
history. Yeah, but and thank you, Sonny Clark, for that, but it was actually 6-5. But that's neither here nor there, folks, because it's always about the scoreboard, baby.
Well, it was a two-run homer. Stan Musial's wasn't it a two-run homer?
I'm not going to argue. Anyway, folks, in World Cup play, we're now at, folks, Sonny Clark, Brian, Zeke, and Matt. Guys, don't worry. The World Cup ends this weekend. And
thank
I don't
God.
Know if you guys saw it, but in one of the
thank
most
God.
Humiliating defeats in World Cup history, Brazil was slaughtered by Germany 7-1. Thereby taking Germany to the World Cup game, which is tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And today is known as the loser's game or the consolation game. Today, Brazil takes on the Netherlands for third place. So don't ask me the stupid question as to who ends up fourth. Anyway, tomorrow at 1 p.m., Germany takes on Argentina, and it's going to be a pretty big state of affairs. So, folks, that's what we have in World Cup play. We're now going to get into baseball, and folks, there's a lot of I told you so going on right now, especially to the Yankees, because whenever something happens to the Yankees, the rest of the baseball world smiles, snickers with glee. Masahiro Tanaka has a partial tear in the
whatever, some godforsaken crap thing that God designed in his shoulder. His ulnar collateral ligament. It's a small tear. He's begun a rehab assignment, but the fact of the matter is the man is only 26, and yet another guy has gone down due to major significant arm injuries. Baseball is on a horrible, horrible injury rate. It's never been seen in the history of baseball that so many pitchers have gone down, and no pimps and hoes of the world. We're not talking about that kind of going down. We're talking about arm injury. Well, actually, maybe the hoes of the world wouldn't, I'd say. Well, it could be because they've been doing, you know, lots of repeated gestures. But anyway, I think baseball are going down. Pitchers are going down at record rates, and it's pretty bad. So, Dream, you know, Masahiro Tanaka went down, but as a Yankee fan, we're like, yeah, and so what? You know, yeah, fine. I think the Yankee is now done. Quite frankly, I know the Yankees are not going to become sellers, but Dream, what does this do to the Yankee season? Because C.C. Sabathia is gone, Miguel Pineda, Mr. Cheater is gone, and now Masahiro Tanaka. They started off very well with decent pitching, but now he's gone down as well.
Well, you know, I am a Yankee fan. I expect perfection. I settle for excellence. But I have the tenacity of a Bears fan. So I'm going to say, you know, we got to just keep plugging away and have people step up, you know, and do what we can, you know. And I've got to have faith. On a side note, the Lakers did say to the Yankees, they've dealt with all of that before.
Oh, good. All right. Fair enough. Well, Brian, you tell me. You follow baseball. What are the prospects? Are the Yankees now done for the season? But more importantly, I want to talk about the whole situation with the arms now, because they're talking about how are people actually – well, okay. I'll get to that in a moment. Brian. Now Tanaka is down. What are your comments?
Well, I don't think it's going to really impact. I don't think the Yankees were going to make the playoffs anyway, just in my opinion. I don't think the Braves will either, so I'm not just being a Yankee hater. As for the arms in baseball, I don't know why it's so many more now. I really do believe it's because they're pampering these guys a lot. And back in the old days, you never saw these injuries. Hell, that pitched two games in a row. It didn't matter. But I think something about the limit on their pitch count, I know it sounds weird, guys, but I think that could have something to do with these arm injuries.
Brian, here's another thing, folks. You guys have been hearing me, and Sonny, I'm going to go to you now. I'd like to hear what you have to say on that because, again, the Tri-State Sports guys got Tommy John. And they asked Tommy what it was, and Tommy John said, pitch every day. But actually, he didn't say pitch every day, but he said they need to throw every day, except the day after they pitch. This is for starters. He said they need to throw every day. Let us go back a little bit in history, guys. The Atlanta Braves of the 1990s were a damn good team for a long time. And it was built on pitching. And those guys rarely ever went down, and they were there all the time. They never had any injuries. I mean, of course they did, but the point is they pitched every day, and they were fine. Sonny.
I'm not going to argue with Tommy John. I mean, come on. Tommy John, I mean, you know, listen, Tommy John is probably the most, by the way, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? But we'll talk about that.
287 victories, baby.
Unbelievable. And here's, you know, I'm not going to sit there and argue with Tommy John. He's right. I mean, and it goes back to the, you know, as one host on our regular people, we of course, Carvino, set the pussification of the new of the you know the kids coming up now. And I knew this before Colin Cowherd said it, so I want to just put this out there. Mark Burley hasn't missed a start in 14 years. Why is that? I don't know. Compared to some of the other guys that have been, that you know are getting Tommy John surgeries and everything else. Why? It is. There's something about, you know, you want to talk about muscle memory? Derrick Rose, okay? I mean, these pitchers who are going out there and they're doing it every day, their muscle memory knows what's going to be coming. It's muscle memory. I don't know. I don't know how much I buy muscle memory, but if there was ever a case for it, it would be for pitchers. For muscle memory, the muscle knows, oh, we're going to throw again today. Oh, we're going to throw again today. Oh, we're going to throw again. It's a muscle memory. I almost get muscle memory when it comes to pitchers. So, but at the same time, if you're not throwing for 4 or 5 days, you know, 3 or 4 days, and actually putting some mustard on the ball when you're throwing it, not just throwing it around, but putting some mustard on the ball while you're practicing, to me, it's simple. You know, your body's not used to throwing that much. And if you do it once every 4 or 5 days, never mind an off season, there's the reason why. I agree with Tommy John. You got to throw every day.
Now, folks, we are noticing that there's an increase in injuries to younger pitchers. And they're talking about an entire generation that is really lost. Are these guys pitching too much before they even get to college, much less the minor league and baseball? There is a serious question about that. And for someone who has followed baseball for the longest time, you know, this was ignored by many people, but the scorekeeper was right. All the baseball brawls in the 80s and even to the 90s were started because Walt Riniak, the hitter of the hitting coach for the Chicago White Sox, this is how much of a dick Walt Riniak was, and I think he's dead, so God rest your soul on the Field of Dreams or whatever. In baseball, there's a lot of territory. This is your plate, this is my plate, that's your half, that's my half. Walt Riniak altered the way hitters would face pitchers starting in the 80s. His whole theory was the outside half belongs to the pitcher, the inside half belongs to you. Well, bullshit. We're going to change that dynamic.
He flipped
it. And we're going to have to... I'm sorry?
He flipped that thinking.
His whole thing was the inside half is yours anyway, so you need to dive out to the outside part of the plate and go and get that. That's yours. You go and get it. This guy began to alter the thinking of hitters by saying you have to go to the outside part of the plate and get it. Now, he was saying the inside half is yours. The outside half is yours, go get it. And hitters started to think, well, how dare this stupid, silly SOB throw inside on me? That's my half of the plate. And it started to get to the point where it was ridiculous. In the 1983 season, folks, baseball went to war. Pitchers and batters were being thrown, well, pitchers were throwing at batters at record paces. There were base brawls all the time. And it wasn't happening in the American League. And the one game that happened in the American League, yours truly, scorekeeper, attended that game at Anaheim Stadium when the Yankees. Yeah. Of all the games, the scorekeeper attended that game, Yankees and Angels. But it was a whole thing where baseball hitters were striding out to the opposite, to the far side of the plate, and creating these issues because the hitters were saying, hey, how dare you bring that into my wheelhouse? Like, whoa, what are you talking about? Your wheelhouse. So my point on that is, and I ended up being right again, is when that started to change, when pitchers started to throw back inside again, there's been a whole different change in baseball as to pitchers being used like automatons. Pitchers now have to, from pitch number one through their last pitch, throw at 100%. That's never happened in the history of baseball.
I agree.
Last 10 years, pitchers have to throw 100% from the first pitch to the 10th pitch or the 99th pitch. That's never happened in baseball.
As a matter of fact, pitchers and the art and skill of pitching was you being able to know when to reach back to get a little bit extra on it. But you were supposed to conserve your energy and your skill so that you could pitch for as long as you could. Granted, there were only 10 men pitching staffs. Now you have teams that have 13 and 14 pitchers on the team. It's pathetic, effing pathetic. And let me tell you, the Yankee manager, Joe Girardi, is just as culpable as all the other idiots. And I've been harping about this for the longest time. Why do you have so many pitchers that have to throw at 100% on every pitch? That's never the way it was supposed to be. A pitcher was supposed to be smart and conserve and be crafty and know when to reach back for that extra stuff. And when they altered the game where these guys had to throw 100%, they're expected to be at 100% from pitch one to the last pitch, that is what is causing a lot of these injuries. When you're forcing these players to throw 99 miles an hour on each and every pitch, baseball itself is the one causing these injuries. Dream, you're back with us. Tell me, what do you think is the cause of all these injuries?
I have no fault with anything you guys are saying. I mean, you guys are all hitting the nail on the head. I cannot argue with Tommy John. Repetition is got to be key. Just like you do anything. I mean, if you do it over and over and over again, you're going to remember how to do it, not only with your muscle, but with your head. You know, whether you're hungover or got a cold or got a flu, you know what to do. You know, look at Michael Jordan, played better with the flu than anybody else. Why? Because he shot a million shots a day. You know, as far as reaching back for that extra stuff, I mean, yeah, dude, I remember that. Like, I'm younger than you, but not by much. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you got to know when to reach back and handle. With pitching in baseball, you were supposed to, you know, use the bare minimum that you had to conserve your arm. You know, if I can strike you out at 80 miles an hour, I don't need to be pulling back for 99. You know, I'm going to throw 81, 82. And then I'm going to throw you a 90 just to F with you. to show you I own you. You know, and that's it. And then you go back and then you're throwing 75. Because guess what? You're expecting that 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Or that 98-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, and guess what? I'm throwing you a changeup 77 and you're going to be swinging for the fences and on your butt in the dirt. So it's... I mean, that's what I miss seeing. You know, I miss seeing all that stuff. You know, you don't see that anymore. You just see pitchers throwing hard all game, and there's not much play anymore. There's not much of the mental game with the batters as much anymore, in my opinion. You know, you used to have the stare down. What do you got? What are you gonna give me? I don't know. We'll see. You know, and that's what I miss more than anything else. Instead of just, all right, I'm going to overpower you all the time, and then I'm going to crank one out of the park.
You know, in Mickey Mantle's biography, which I read, and there was also a video on it, Mickey Mantle said the worst thing that a hitter could do was strike out, and it was personal. That a hitter struck out was the biggest flailing in all of sports. And this is from a prodigious home run hitter that said that when I struck out, I personally failed. And I wanted to get back up there and beat the crap out of the – I'm paraphrasing now. Beat the crap out of the pitcher because he struck me out. Because it was personal. A strikeout was a failure of the highest regard. And right now, Major League Baseball, in all of its greatness and in all of its $10 billion a year industry – yeah, that's right. Eat it, folks. And how do we know? How do we know that baseball now makes more money than football? I'll tell you, folks. Because NFL does not reveal anything. But because the Green Bay Packers, because they are a public team,
They have to report everything once a year. And we now found out how much of a profit the Green Bay Packers made. And they multiplied the math, and football is an $8 billion a year industry. It's done, folks. There is no lying. It's all public. It's done once a year. Football, in all of its glory, is an $8 billion pie. Well, the same thing applies to baseball. And guess what? Because of their great little antitrust exemption, they have other reporting requirements. Folks, Major League Baseball is doing just fine. $10 billion in revenue. Wow! So to all of you who are saying that baseball needs to contract, and I'm talking to you, Copy, to everyone who says that baseball is having a hard time, let me tell you, the good times are rolling in baseball. There is absolutely nothing wrong when it comes to attendance and revenue. And anyone who says otherwise, hey, scoreboard, baby. The NFL is a beautiful instrument, and so is baseball. Don't compare them. Don't compare them. And if you say baseball's having trouble, I don't hear any of the owners bitching. Think about that, folks. Yeah, seriously, think about that.
Well, when you can sell a team for $2 billion, I mean, no owner's going to be complaining.
Nope. Oh, my God. Are you talking about basketball now?
Oh, I'm just talking in general. $1 billion to $2 billion. If an owner can sell, I mean, what? Any baseball team can get $1 billion, I think, right about now, except maybe the Cubs.
Or the Royals.
Or the Royals, yeah. I know. I know.
Now,
by the way, scorekeeper, just to take a quick step back, you were talking about, you know the throwing, given everything you got, and you know, on every pitch and everything else, you know, it very closely to me, at least to me, it sounded like you were saying that pitchers nowadays are not as smart as they were back in the day. What you're talking about, believe it or not, in baseball there is a strategy to the game. It's just not about someone going up and hitting a ball and trying to bring someone in. All right, there's a strategy to the game in every nuance of the game as far as baseball is concerned. I mean, really, and I say this, listen to Vin Scully call a game, okay? It's not about a guy just coming up and hit the ball. Vin Scully will bring out everything that you need to know about the situation of the game. And that is the difference between the game today and the game of yesteryear. The games of yesteryears, they were games of situations. Not just a game to go up and hit the ball and the guy's hitting 380. No, will they do a double steal? Will it be a hit and run time? Trying to set up all that stuff. And nowadays it's about a guy going up there and blasting it out of the park. Okay, so I think the fact of the matter is the strategy of the game is being overlooked because the younger people and the younger players are just so stupid that they don't understand that there is actually a strategy to the game of baseball. And pitchers not knowing about hitters, I mean, they get that in a report to them. I mean, for them to sit and watch film for hours and hours like they used to do in the old days, that don't happen. They get reports. They get scouting reports that says anything about it instead of actually sitting down and watching a pitcher actually pitch the ball. And what Dream said about the stare down, that there's a strategy to that. It's trying to get into your head. It's not being there. And when you strike out, there's no accountability, Adam Dunn, which you'll get to the Adam Dunn report. There's no accountability for a strikeout. So what it basically says is that baseball today is a right, more so than baseball in the ages were a profession. That's just me.
Hey guys, everyone talks about the Derek Jeter play in the playoffs when the ball came in odd and Derek Jeter was there to field the ball. He pivots in the air and throws home and nails the runner. And everyone was like, oh, my God, what a great play. Who would have thought about it? I'm like, who would have thought about it?
Who would?
Who is
I'm like, who is even talking? Who is even talking saying that? Guys, this week there was another play. The Cardinals were playing, I don't know who, but the third baseman fielded a bunt, and he immediately made a play on it and threw to second base. It was a bang-bang play. He had a chance to get the runner at second, but there was a problem. The shortstop ran to cover third, and the second baseman ran to cover first base. So the ball went into center field. Everyone thought it was an error. And all of a sudden, the center fielder was doing his job. He was actually coming in on the play like all outfielders are do. And he got the throw and stepped on second base to nail the runner. And everyone was like, oh, my God, heads up. Who would have thought about that?
The players that know the game know about that.
They don't know the game. They don't know the game. And there are a lot of people that play the game don't know the game.
And broadcasters who don't know the game.
They don't know the game. And it angers me when I play on a team and there's a player in the infield and the outfielders don't move. I know when there's a ground ball hit to third, as a right fielder, I'm running at an angle to back up the first baseman.
Yeah.
And I've done it. The first baseman has had the ball go by them, and they turn around, and there I am, the backup, and they're shocked. I'm like, oh, dude, way to go. I'm like, I'm doing my job. I'm supposed to back you up. And it angers me that people who play the game don't even know that.
When's the last time you've seen a catcher run down to first?
They actually still do that. But, yeah, they're
not
getting...
Not much.
There's some specification there, too. Folks, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that it's an odd play. Derek Jeter was where he needed to be. He was smart. He knew what he had to do. And this guy, I think it was Bruce in center field for the Cardinals, was doing what he had to do. And this, I learned that as a freshman in high school baseball. Our coach sat us down in the classroom, folks, and he said, okay, here's everyone. What happens when the ball is hit here? What do you do? He said, because you're in the outfield, doesn't mean that you sit there and watch. You come in and you back up the play. And that's baseball 101. And all these people are saying, oh, my God, how, wow, what a heads up. Heads up my ass. He's doing his job. Shut the hell up.
Know where you're supposed to be, damn it.
Exactly.
At every minute of the play. Every play, you should be moving. That's what it is.
In football, Brian, Sonny, correct me if I'm wrong. One basic strategy in football is when you're playing the game, if you're a lineman, what are you supposed to do? You hit the guy in front of you. Why? You don't worry about what's going on. The rule is you hit the guy in front of you, and if another guy comes up, then you hit the next guy. That's your job. And if it's done right, you advance the ball. Right, guys?
Right.
Sometimes just knowing what you're supposed to do is a big factor on what it is. You're right. You know, all of a sudden, you know, people are going, I remember seeing that on Yahoo, you know, and I was like, what crazy foresight, what are you talking about? And I went in there and I read it, and I think we might have been on the same wavelength. I was like, wait a second, he was supposed to be there. Why is this such a big deal? Just like you said, just because you don't see it every day doesn't mean that it's a fundamental part of the ball game. You know, that's the problem. There's these younger people don't know the fundamentals of the game, and it's infuriating to watch. When you're sitting there going, well, where's the catcher? He was supposed to be there on the backup. I mean, really, you think about it. And when a pitcher doesn't back up the throw at home, it just irks me to death. And that's happening a lot more nowadays, too, as well.
And let me tell you something else, folks. Here is another rule that I learned, and it's illegal, but baseball turns its eye on it. When a player uses a fence to climb up and make a play, he has just broken a rule in baseball, because you cannot use anything to assist you to catch the ball other
except
than
the glove.
Your glove. And you actually can't even use your uniform. There's language in there. But anyway, folks, it is an illegal play when you go to the fence and you reach up with one arm to prop yourself up. You can't do that. It's in the rules. But everyone turns a blind eye to it.
Oh, that's Major League Baseball.
You know, and you know what? Hey, it's also illegal to have a substance that exceeds 42 inches on your bat. It's illegal. The rules are there. And as Commissioner of Baseball, ladies and gentlemen, as the next Commissioner of Baseball, I will return baseball to what it was, a rules-abiding league. And that is yet another thing that I would do, folks, as Commissioner of Baseball. You find him Roger Noriega for Major League Baseball Commissioner. That is another thing that I would do. And there will be an update to the site. I have a few other things that I would also want to bring into it. Guys, baseball's doing well. It just needs a few little tweaks. You know, and maybe tweakers for all I know. But
hey, scorekeeper, Scarekeeper, I'm going to call in, okay? I'm going to call in and on Skype. I got to go silent for a little bit, okay?
You do that. Folks, the great thing about this is it just needs a few things to be done. Going back to the issue of baseball arms being hurt, this is bad in baseball, and baseball needs to do something. And baseball needs to do something like getting all the teams together and figuring out what's going on. And again, as Commissioner of Baseball, I would bring the teams together. I know that the Players Association will probably say it's collusion, but it needs to be done, folks. Something needs to be done to find out what's going on with all these injuries in baseball. Dream, you and I played the game. I'm proud to say I was 4 years varsity in high school. I'm proud of that. I had to work my butt off to do that. But here's the thing, folks. I learned and I listened to my coaches. I never got hurt in the manner that other people have. I did what my coaches told me to do and taught me to do. You know, here's the thing. My coach never actually asked me to catch the ball. He said, keep the ball in front of me. That was my instructions by my coach. Keep the ball in front of me. He also said, don't throw your glove on the ground. That piece of equipment may save your life one day. He also told me, I cannot throw my glove and I cannot throw my cap to try to catch the ball. It's illegal. And that was my first year in baseball. They taught me the rules. I know how to play the game. And when I see bonehead stuff with these pitchers and fielders, it's sad. As Commissioner of Baseball, I would bring that into it, where these guys need to learn the game. It has to be done. Because right now, you know, if you're not hitting a home run, it might as well not be anything. Right, Sonny? Or you went silent, didn't you? Yeah, I'm actually going to be alone for a little bit because we're nearing the end of the program. Folks, we are down to 12 minutes here on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We've had a wonderful morning. We're going to switch on over to baseball, the standings, because we have a lot of stuff that we're going to go over. We're going to do the Adam Dunn watch in just a moment. We're also going to talk about Aroldis Chapman setting the strikeout. Well, he sets a K mark, but we'll talk about it. But right now, yesterday in Major League Baseball, the Chicago Cubs edged the Atlanta Braves 5-4. Cleveland 7-4 over the White Sox. Baltimore edged the Yankees in 10, 3-2. Philadelphia put it to Washington 6-2. The Mets shellacked Miami 7-1. Cincinnati, oh, man, beat the Pirates 6-5, or more likely the Pirates let themselves get beat by the Reds. Toronto 8-5 over Tampa Bay. Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine shut out the Texas Rangers 2-0. Boston 8-3 over Houston. Detroit 2-1 over Los Reales de Kansas City.
St. Louis 7, Milwaukee 6, Colorado 6-2 over Minnesota, like anyone really gives a flying F. Seattle 3-2 over Oakland. The Padres 6-3 over the Dodgers of Anaheim. And the San Francisco Giants shut out the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-0. Quickly in the standings in Major League Baseball, we're going to go to them right now. In the American League, Baltimore 51-41, 3 games ahead of Toronto. In the Central, Detroit 52-37, 6.5 games over the who? The Reales of Kansas City? Holy crap. In the West, Oakland 58-35, 2.5 ahead of the Angels. And in the National League, Washington and Atlanta are tied statistically with Miami 5.5 back. In the Central, Milwaukee 52-42 is 1 game ahead of the Los Cardinals of St. Louis. And in the West, the San Francisco Giants 51-42 are statistically tied with the Dodgers. And they're 10 games ahead of San Diego. That's it in baseball for right now. And, yes, Matt says, yep, that's his Giants. No doubt about it. Good stuff, folks. Let me see. We already did the sporting events. Here's a quote of the day, folks. In sports, let's see, we're going to do a hockey quote. Hockey belongs to the Cartoon Network, where a person can be pancaked by an acme anvil, then expanded, accordion style, back to full stature without any lasting side effect. Steve Rushing. Here's another one from Doug Larson. Ice hockey is a form of disorderly conduct in which the score is kept. I like it. Folks, we're going to go back. We're going to do the Adam Dunn watch. As you know, we are fans of Adam Dunn right here on Sports Talk with the Guys. This is the epitome of Major League Baseball stupidity. Giving a player a $52 million contract to a guy who was pretty much worthless in the National League. All he did was hit home runs. He had 40 home runs, and the guy was paid a 4-year, $52 million deal. So let's see how this is going. Adam Dunn, in the last 10 games, is hitting .212. He's hit 2 home runs, and he has 2 RBI. He's walked 9 times, but he has struck out 14 times. So, for the season, Adam Dunn is now hitting .227. Way to go, Adam. You're getting paid a lot of money. Hey, I don't blame you, Adam. Well, I think you're worthless to begin with. But, Adam, someone thought you were worth something. Yeah, thank you, Sonny.
You're welcome.
You know, yeah, you are worthless. But someone thought that you were good enough to earn $52 million a year. Or no, $52 million over 4 years. Or was it $56 million? I think it was 56.
I think but you're then, right.
Yeah, well, I'm always right, but that's neither here nor there. In 76
you,
games,
and you were right about the All-Star game. It was 6-5.
You mean you actually had doubts? You really doubted it?
I went with the website that I was looking on, and they had it wrong. So, yes, I went and looked it up to make sure you were right, because I was like, damn, he was right again. Evidently, the website is wrong, so, and sure enough, it was. That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
That's okay, Sonny Clark, because I respect and admire you. I'm sorry. I respect and admire you.
You can't even say it. I love it.
It wasn't whether I was right or wrong, because it's scoreboard, baby. It's scoreboard. And let me tell you something. Sonny Clark put me in my place 3 months into our relationship. Yeah, there, I said it. And I swore to myself, I said, that little rat bastard is never going to catch me again.
I tried.
It's not
but
about
who,
and you know
not
what?
As good.
It's not about who's right or who's wrong. In the passion of the sport, we all forget things. It's called old age, folks.
Oh,
but,
God, yeah.
Yeah, I just make sure. I'm close to suffering mad cows, Sonny. That's why it's not whether I'm right. I might be right now.
Oncoming mad cow.
Right. Yeah, I will not be right in 3 minutes. So Matt Alvarez is going to have Joe Burgett on July 25th. Good stuff.
Ooh. What's his name? I didn't hear
Joe Burgett. Yeah, B-U-R-G-E-T-T. He's going to be on the 25th, so good stuff.
He's a writer at Inquisitor and Vice President Strategy and Content Operations at the Universal Takeover Network. Woo-hoo! He's going to be on July 25th, folks. So, there we go. I think we're leaning on over. We're only down to a few minutes. We're going to be moving over to the Couch Potato Sports Program.
Yep.
I got to tell you, son, it's gone by kind of quick. But, yeah, I am hopped up on caffeine right now.
Wow. Well, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you get that caffeine, you will crash and burn once it does wear off. So you're
oh,
all set. Yeah, you're gonna hit the wall running.
Yeah, I am. But to finish off with Adam Dunn, on the season he's batting .227. His on base is, well, relatively speaking, kind of high, .362. His slugging is .445, and his OPS is .807. He has 99 strikeouts, and he has walked 54 times. So Adam Dunn is close. He's projected to strike out 173 times and walk 87. So that is still a 2-to-1 ratio. Folks, that's embarrassing. That is flat-out embarrassing.
Goes back to the accountability that you were talking about, scorekeeper, and what I was talking about, the accountability of the players. They don't care. And that's the huge thing. I don't care if I strike out. Man, I'm telling you, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, man, when you struck out, man, you walked to that. When you went back to the bullpen, when you seen it, players were pissed off. Now they just walk back like, oh, yeah, you know, it happened. And that, it is. It's a desire of the game. It's a desire to know the game. And here's another thing. With the money being so astronomical, there's no desire to be much better. You know, because in reality, you get a 1-year contract or a contract. You're set for life if you do it right. So there's no really, you know, there's really no consequence in reality in not playing. Sort of like in football, though, you know, if you don't do well, they'll cut you. You get that contract in Major League Baseball, you get that money.
Well, it's the guaranteed contract. It is
Yep.
a guaranteed contract, the way it is. And, you know, I have no problem with guaranteed contracts, folks, but, you know, something does need to be done, and I do believe that incentives should be placed in the contract. And even though the Players Association is against it, I think it would make it a much more dynamic league. If every pitch, every at-bat was on the line, it would change the game irrevocably. It would take us back to where we were. And I agree, folks, that the Major League Baseball salary should be about $1 million minimum. Everyone gets $1 million. But based on your production is how you could exorbitant some. And I'm telling you, if a minor league guy shows up to Major League Baseball and he has a monster year, he would earn the Kwan under my way of doing things. He wouldn't earn the Major League minimum. He would earn...
By the way, that's a good question really quick before you go out. If a minor leaguer goes up to the major leagues, okay, does his contract change?
Well, it depends what kind of a contract he is. But, yes, it generally changes for most, that they immediately start making the major league minimum, which is, I believe, $550,000 a year.
For the rest of the season, even if they get thrown
related.
Back down. Yep, got it.
Yeah. Well, if they go back down, then they go back to their whatever they had, the minor league contract.
Interesting. They get a prorate, so it's not necessarily guaranteed. It's not if you go down to the minors, then it's not your. Depending on your contract, if it's a minor league contract, yes. Then, but if you're a major leaguer and you go down to the minors, you still get your major league money, correct?
Well, while you're in the major leagues, when you're on the roster, you get paid $550,000 a year. So obviously, if you're up for 10 days. Whatever 10 days of the full season, that's what you'll earn. And folks,
didn't necessarily know that,
Sonny
scorekeeper.
Sonny Clark, we're down to a minute.
I'm already on the other side via Skype, but go ahead.
Okay, folks, we're going to end up right now. We're going to be heading on over to Couch Potato, continue this glorious morning. Want to thank everyone for joining us. And, again, check us out at ndbmedia.net, ndbmedia.com, same website, twitter.com/ndbmedia. Find us also our sports feed, twitter.com/ndbsports. You are listening to an NDB Media production, copyright 2014 of the NDB Media Network. Yes, folks, I said it because I wanted to. We'll see you guys on the other side. Let's head on over to the couch potato. We're out of here. Hey! Oh, wait, where did my elk go? Where is it? Where did my elk go? Oh, come on. It's right here somewhere. Sorry, folks. We're going to get it right. Where is it? Man. It's here somewhere. Okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Please drive carefully and arrive home safely. Good night.